Dr. Tony Bach is a professor of medicine at the University of Washington and the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle. He recalls being a medical student following oncologists on rounds in the hospital.
In the room, they'd say, oh, we're just going to try this next treatment. It's very promising. And then we'd walk around out of the room around the corner, and they'd go, she's hosed. And as a medical student, I was like, oh, my God, what is this?
That disconnect between what the doctor was thinking and what he said to the patient, well, it stuck with Dr. Bach. Now he focuses on communications between doctors and patients. Bach's latest study, published in the Journal of Palliative Medicine, involved asking people with metastatic cancer what they wanted to hear.
We played audio tapes of other patients talking to other doctors for patients who had cancer to see what they would say about it, because the issue that we have in doing research is that people like their doctor. They don't want to say anything bad about their doctor. But when they're listening to a different person talking to a different doctor, boy, the layer of niceness really goes into something much more honest. So it's really interesting.
Dr. Bach concluded that two ideas need to coexist, as tough as they might be, that the patient is in a new place that must be dealt with while maintaining a sense of hope.
I think when you're somebody who's been living with cancer and looking for the next treatment and benefiting from the next treatment, looking for the next treatment becomes a way of life. And then changing that up is like a huge disruption. And so one of the challenges for me as a doctor in that setting is to say, yeah, this is the reality of what's happening. The treatments aren't working anymore. And for me to somehow convey that, you know what, and we're still going to take care of you. And, you know, some other stuff can happen now. One of the things that one of our patients suggested was this idea of saying, you know, we're in a different place. And it's a way to introduce this bigger topic and sort of set the stage of we're going to have a conversation that's a tough conversation, but a really important one, because the way we've been working, the status quo, isn't going to keep working. I think when I'm introducing this topic by saying something like we're in a different place, I think of that as a signpost. It's a transition phrase for me to say to the person I'm talking to, hey, I'm going to move the conversation into a new kind of space. And I don't expect the patient to follow me and stay there, because you know what? There's no more treatment left. That is a pretty scary space. And really, I am thinking at the beginning that I am just going to open the door. We're going to look at it for a little while, and then we're going to close the door, because it's just too hard. So usually it's not just one conversation. Usually it's the, gee, we're getting close to this. This is the kind of conversation that we could be having. Now it looks like maybe we're there. Now I think we're really there. Now I think your body is telling us something different. And so I think it's often this whole series of conversations that people have.
The little by little approach was more appealing to his study group than some of the other strategies they listened to.
One of the ones that doesn't work is, I think it's time for hospice. And people are like, I don't feel like I'm ready for hospice. What am I supposed to do? Just get my blankets out for hospice and get ready to die, right? That, even though I think the doctor meant well in going to the hospice word right away, it didn't work for most of the patients, because they needed a little more of the process of, wait, how do I get from where I am to starting to think about hospice? Because for a lot of people, hospice is equated with, you know, you're dying. And that's pretty scary. Some of the other things that people don't like is actually they don't like there's nothing more we can do. It feels devastating to them. The other thing they don't like is I'm going to refer you to this other person, the hospice doctor, and implicitly, unspoken, I'm not going to see you again. It turns out that's a huge thing.
Dr. Bach says it's terrible for cancer patients to receive bad news from a stranger, such as an emergency room doctor, rather than the oncologist who has been treating them for some time.
It feels like a huge betrayal to them. And so even though the doctor is a little, in that sense, has made it a little easier on themselves, it's quite devastating. Just as it's devastating for the patient to realize they're not going to talk to their doctor again after that last visit. They didn't actually know when the last visit was. It was happening, and they didn't realize it.
Once the door has been cracked open that little bit, then there is space for the next phase of coping.
What are the things this person is going to need to make sense of this huge change, to adapt to the huge change, to get their family ready for the huge change, and just to deal with the logistics of, you know, how to taking my medicine and making sure I get the treatments that are still going to keep me comfortable, and then, you know, do some of the things that are really important to me that'll help me feel like, wow, I'm still living, even though I'm in this kind of crazy cancer treatment isn't working anymore place.
Once that sense of a new reality is established, the oncologist has the space to ask questions that can inspire hope as well.
Everybody is hoping to get cured. Everybody's hoping to have more time. And as a doctor, what I have to remember is to say, and what else are you hoping for? Because usually it's not too hard to get to, I'm hoping to do another weekend trip with my spouse. I'm hoping that I can watch a few more basketball games with my grandkids. I'm hoping I can, you know, finish the painting I was working on. I'm hoping I can sit outside a few more times and just enjoy the feeling of the sun. I mean, those big things and small things, there's almost always a mixture of those. And helping people remember what brings their lives meaning and purpose is part of what I need to do there, because the disruption is so big, right? It's just people just feel knocked off their feet. The myth is that physicians are just born knowing this, or they're just these charismatic people and they just kind of instinctively know what to do. And the truth is that there are many and much of this skill that is a learned thing. Like, I have learned and trained myself to pay really close attention to the exact words the patient says, so that when I repeat back what they say, I use those exact words to as much a degree as I can.
Dr. Tony Bach told me that he believes the ideas of patient-centered care and access to what he calls Dr. Google, the medical landscape, really has changed.
I think we are getting more human with each other in these and stepping out of our white coats. I do think that there is a cultural moment that is shifting now. And I think part of it is shifting because doctors are trying these new things and in ways to adapt to their patients better. And I also think that patients are asking for something a little different from their doctors.